when we've been there 10,000, I shall sing as the sun. We know this day to sing God's praise, and when we first begun.
And it's good to see all of you. Let's just turn in our scriptures to Revelation 6:1, and then we'll read from 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. Just reading Revelation 6:1 first, and then we'll read 2 Thessalonians. Good to see all of you out. Good to see some back. It's been out a while, missing from us. We appreciate each one. We appreciate the Lord most of all. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now let's read 2 Thessalonians 2. Start with about, I guess we can start with the first verse, it'd be fine. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now you remember in reading this, Brother Branham was saying that Paul wanted to get it out of their mind that Jesus was coming right then, that this was going to happen right then. Then he explains why, that it wouldn't happen right then. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Now he's talking about the end of time, so he's coming down to the end. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your loving grace. We ask you this morning that you'd just come among us and speak to your people, because that's what we depend upon. Let it be you, Lord, because we know it's all in you. There's no good in none of us. But yet in our Lord rest all things. We ask you now that you just have the preeminence in each heart and life this day. Bless the hearers, bless the speaker, and forgive the sins of us all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now to some that were not here last Sunday, we took two services. It might do good to listen to them. We'll try to review some of what we're trying to get to. In other words, a lot of people that just take, say, the first seal, and they'll say, yeah, that's the Antichrist. Yeah, we know what that is. We've been told that. That's the Antichrist. And, we can see him as the Pope, and then we can see him over there as he becomes, the Pope becomes incarnate as the beast in the tribulation, and all this, that, and the other, and people say, well, we understand that. But I hope we've caught a few things that would help us understand a little better. What's the difference? I might ask it this way. What's the difference in the Pope and me and you? you know, what makes the, him be so such a, if we want to call the Pope the Antichrist and say he's the one sitting in the temple of God, because he does now actually sit there and forgive sins of the people. You know, they come up and they confess their sins and pay him a few dollars, and he says, well, that's fine. See, and he hands that ability down to all of the little priests and things that's under him, that, that you can go to him and make confessions and things. And a big portion of the world will preach that he's the Antichrist, you know, that that's not right. The Baptists were, we, there's a lot of people in that teach that that was wrong. But yet, what's in him that would be any different than the way we are? And also, what would it make it, what would be so strong in that one man that would finally come to the last days until it would swallow up everybody? Not just part, not just a few people would be deceived by it, but that the whole world would go into a covenant with it. And all mankind, Baptist, Methodist, whatever it be, would be deceived by that Antichrist spirit. And you just leave there in the tribulation 144,000 of the children of Israel, and two witnesses would be the only ones that would, out of a world of what is it now, 4 billion or better people, that out of that group of people, there'd be 144,002 people that would know in the tribulation who the Antichrist was. The rest of the world is deceived by the covenant and drawn into it. What causes that? What is that strong? Has he got such a strong, compelling force about him, you know, that he can just persuade the world? Or is it that the people themselves, I mean, man, we ought to be able to see something if we can catch it from this seal of one thing that I tried to preach to you last week. We're all a product of iniquity. You remember what we're trying to bring out? We were shaping in iniquity. There the psalmist said, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Brother Branham would say, born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Go forth from your mother's womb, a liar. You mean one man would have the ability? There's been great men stood up in our day. There's been great people all across the land that had great powers of persuasion. Why, this man, according to what would be taught there by basically most people, he would have more power of persuasion than Almighty God himself, because God's never converted the whole world. He's never had the world to come at his feet as this person will have it. Then what causes? See, that's what I've been driving at. What causes all of them people to come into that covenant with him? What makes that? It must be then that every one of the people have the same spirit motivating them that he has. Also, there must be something there connected, I'll say it, fleshly, that would make them all come into a covenant then. Because as I said, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, had 12 converted in his ministry, and this man has 4 billion people that will be converted in his ministry over to his way of seeing things. Then you're not talking about some little old something to say, yeah, well, we understand who the Antichrist is. That's the Pope. And then one of these days, he'll become Satan incarnate. Well, as I said now, you think about it. Why did Brother Branham use the word Antichrist when he said, you want me to tell you? He had read this scripture in 2 Thessalonians on page 130 and 131 there. 129 of the seal book when he first started off laying a foundation. When he gets over into the seal, after he began to talk about who it was and the Antichrist, he goes back to this scripture and picks it up and covers him over and over. But why would Brother Branham choose a word to use there? And I don't know whether he chose the word. I'm sure God had something to do with it. But he said, you want me to tell you who this feller is? Now, what if he'd have said, this feller, as I said, what if he said, this feller's the beast? Now, that's who he is. That's the beast. Why, every denominational system would have been screaming and hollering while we've been preaching that the whole time. We know that's who the beast was. Now, he said, you want me to tell you who this feller is? He didn't say he was the devil. He didn't say he was Satan or Lucifer or whatever. He said, this feller, said, you want me to tell you who he said, he's the Antichrist. All right, then we saw from last week's studies that when Brother Branham said that, speaking of the Antichrist, he had used this scripture of the mystery of iniquity. Now, in his explaining, as I said, he was saying to the church, don't get it into your mind that I'm saying the Lord's coming right now. First, there must come a falling away. Well, see, you had a great church standing there at the time Paul was writing this. He said, there must first come a falling away. He said, then that man of sin can be revealed, the son of perdition. Then he'd go on and he'd start talking about how that he would be worshipped as God. And he'd sit in the temple of God, showed himself to be as God. And then he starts talking about how that what would withhold that he might be revealed in his time. In other words, something now is going to cause it from being revealed or brought into actual doing. He said, now the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And we found that iniquity, Brother Branham said, was to know to do good and won't do it. Or to know better than to do wrong and go on and do it anyway. And then when that come down to it, what did we find that there in Genesis, we found that Adam, see the Bible said that you're shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All right, then the iniquity was prior to the actual sin in Eve, wouldn't it? Something began to mold in her. She knew better, but we found out she got deceived into it. But still, she was told not to do that, not to do that. She went and done it anyway, even after she was told. But she was deceived. Then who did we find was the main person that brought in iniquity? We found that it went back up into heaven, and Lucifer, over there in the Bible, said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Because I'll read it to you, it'll be into the next message or so later where we'll get down to it. Thought it said, because you conceived iniquity. Read that there where it's talking about Lucifer. It says, because he conceived iniquity. In other words, he had iniquity in his heart. He knew better than do what he'd done. But he went out with just little sayings and little ideas, and first thing you know, down it came to man after he's cast out of heaven. Then we find Adam standing there, knowing better than to do what he'd done. But yet he sold the human race into sin. See, he was shaping in iniquity. That's the beginning of something. That's what causes the ball to get to rolling. Then sin comes in. And then you can see Webster says that iniquity is a hideous sin or lawlessness. All right, then that carries it down to its final point of iniquity. And that's what we're going to try to get today, is to see if we can come to see the end of this man of sin and this iniquity. But you'll never see that. I mean, you can read the seal book and you can talk about iniquity all you want to, or the man of sin sitting in the temple of God. You can call him the Pope. You can talk about him all you want. But you'll never see the real thought of what the mystery of iniquity is until you see that you and I are a product of iniquity. As I covered last week, you can be born again. That does away with the iniquity of the soul. That pure, holy, that's your abstract title deed to the soul. But now what about this flesh? What's holding us in this world? What's keeping us from leaving this world We've been eternal. Some of you maybe 20, 30, 40 years that you've been born again. Some 50 or maybe more. What's keeping you in this world? What kept a church in this world that had the faith of the fathers that they could say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk? They were a special set people like Philip that one day he got so caught up in the Spirit, he just translated 200 or 300 miles from one place to another. Went down to the Ethiopian eunuch.
There's
no gravitational control to him. But yet he still didn't go in the rapture.
He still had to die and go to the grave.
A great man like the prophet in our last days that stood and preached so much and said, thus saith the Lord, so many times, and God backed his word up. But yet that man is still in the grave. Something put him there. Well, then we found from our study that the seals is for the redemption of this body. They naturally will have to reveal the redemption of the soul, because that's part of it, but it's to reveal the redemption of the body. And then we found then that our bodies are a product of iniquity. Adam knew better than to sell a human race, as he did. But yet he sold a human race until it come under sin from his iniquity. And then the Bible would talk about how the Lord would forgive your iniquities and your sins. Well, then we know that we ask the Lord to forgive our sins. And we know he'll do that. We know that even just the Christian's the only one that can sin, because a sinner, he's just condemned already. He don't believe nothing. And then we go out and we do little things wrong. And we find out in the Hebrew book that we will even willfully do things wrong. But knowing that we're not supposed to do it, what causes us to do that? The environment, the life that where we're born at, the place that you and I are brought into. Then you can see that the whole world then, unless a person's born again, he is totally a product of iniquity. He's totally a sinful person unless he's born again. Well, then when it comes to the time over there that we'll get to it in a minute, you can see it, that only 144,000 are born again, and then your two witnesses there with them being born again. Only 144,002 people are born again. The rest of them are total products of iniquity. And Satan just takes the whole thing under his control, because this old flesh, we don't like to admit it, and a lot of people really do scream and holler when you make this statement, that you and I were born kinfolks to the devil. What causes little children to lie when they come into the world? What makes them quick as they can talk, they'll lie? What made you steal? What makes you do wrong? The place you're born in. Being a sinner. Belonging to the devil. That doesn't mean the devil's my daddy. Now, my daddy was Sam Dale. But coming down in visited iniquity. See, we take a visit of iniquity and we cover it for 10 generations like the Bible covers. But do you realize from Genesis all the way it's been iniquity, because every one of us are a product of it. Every human being ever been in the world, it was inherited from Adam and Eve in Genesis back there that it come down. And every person's born that way. I don't care who we are. I don't care how much you go to church or what you do. You might have been born in one and you might die in one. That don't mean you're going to heaven. See, it'll wind up just as it did in the days of Noah, when there was just 8 people saved and a whole world full of iniquity. And it'll wind up in the last days that there'll be just 144,000 plus your two witnesses. The rest of the world, I don't care who they are in nationality, prove they're a Hebrew or what they are, they'll be in a covenant with the Antichrist. Now, the Hottentot in the backside of Africa won't know nothing about the covenant. But yet the prophet said it will deceive all. The Bible said it would deceive all. So that's enough then. That Hottentot in the backside of Africa that has never heard about Jesus or never heard about the Antichrist or any kind of a covenant, he's in that covenant with him because he was born that way. He was born in sin and shapen in iniquity and went forth a liar just like an American that was born that way in the land of promise, everybody wants to call it. He is in that covenant with him. But it don't matter today whether me and you are in a denomination or not. That has nothing to do with it whether we're in a denomination or not. We can be a one-man denomination. It has nothing to do with if we believe their doctrine. Then we have that same mark that the greatest Baptist theologian in the world could have. If I believe his doctrine, I'm the same as he is. It don't make no difference whether I go join with him or not. So then we see that we've been redeemed. The new birth covers our soul. Makes our soul eternal. There's no iniquity there. Now, God will not dwell there. What I want to preach on later is how to get rid of the iniquity and how to know that it's gone. You know, just preach that we're iniquity and just condemn us and mark us all. That won't do nothing to keep us in the world. I'm interested in getting out of this world, ain't you? Then if we can find out what iniquity really is, we can find out what that Antichrist thing really is, then one of these days you'll now see how to leave this world because we'll know that our iniquity is gone. Now you think about it. There's iniquities. And I'll review this again later on to catch into a message. There's iniquities in the Bible that could be forgiven. You know, I mean, you find writings there about how to take your sacrifice and go down. It'll use the word iniquity. It'll say, for that you had a certain sacrifice. Say you know better than to do something, some wrong or commit adultery or something like that. Then you go and do it. So you know better to do it. All right, then there was a sacrifice that told you what to do. You took it to the priest. He gave the sacrifice. That cleansed your sin. But now watch how perfect your Bible is to show you that me and you can be born again, eternal as can be, in our soul, and yet still standing here in our flesh being a product of iniquity, and that's what's holding us to this world. Watch how perfect your Bible proves that. In the Old Testament, you could go up and give a sacrifice for that sin. You could go out forgiven. But when you was an illegitimate child, there was no sacrifice could cleanse it. You might go offer one. You might stay outside the church and hear the music, and enjoy the outside festivities, and be blessed by being in the assemblies around of the church. But you couldn't enter the congregation of the righteous, I don't care how many sacrifices you offered, until 10 generations had come and bled that out. Then your descendants could go back in the congregation. Now to me, whether you catch that or not, to me, that proves just what I was preaching last week, and I'll review that again in another message because there's something connected with it I want us to see. That proves that you and I can be eternal, that the faith of the fathers could be here, that all of that could be here, that the headstone could be on the church, every member of the body of Christ come in, and every member kept off, and us still standing here in this flesh, waiting for a change. But there's a little connection right there on that head. I'm going to hold that one. Let you think about it. There's something there that it does. If you watch the message this morning, you'll see it just come right down. I won't have to say it, but you'll see it from it. But now, your new birth makes you eternal, but yet it's not been applied to this body. That's the best words I can use it, because that's the way Brother Branham used it in the seal book. He said, now, wait a minute about that. He said, well, just hold on. He said, now, we've been redeemed, but said it's not been applied to us. The Jews have already been redeemed at Calvary by Gunner, but it's not been applied to them yet. See, then there's something that's holding us here. So let's just don't look at the Pope. Yeah, that's the Antichrist. Brother Branham covering that mystery of iniquity. He said, you want me to tell you who this feller is? Said, he's the Antichrist. Now, as I said, if he just said beast, everybody else would have said, hey, we know all about it. But he used the word Antichrist because that's the first beginning of your iniquity. In other words, in heaven, Satan went contrary to the Word. Antichrist means against the Word. Or it's right there so close until it would deceive the very elect when it come into the last days if it was possible. And I covered that last week with you from the Anointed Ones to the End Time, gave you all the quotations. Always watch the quotation Brother Branham would use when he talks about iniquity and gives the definition of it and knowing to do better and won't do it. What was the scripture we showed last week that just about every place I could ever find, Brother Branham would use the scripture where it says in Matthew there where it says, they come to me and say, have not I cast out devils thy name, done all these things? He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. See, the Antichrist is not Hitler, Mussolini, Russia. Now watch the way I say it. Pope, priest. The Antichrist is a spirit. It's a spirit. Pope is the second stage of it. Like beast is the third stage of it. Incarnate beast is the fourth stage. See, then Brother Branham, watch what he said. He said one seal. Now, he didn't say it take all seven. He said one seal will tie all the Bible together. All right, then basically what you hear out of most people on the seals is they'll say, the seal, that's Wild Horse Rider, that's the Antichrist. Read your first seal over. Brother Branham carried it in the first seal all the way from the Antichrist. That was just where he'd begun. That was the Antichrist. He carried it to the false prophet. He carried it to the beast and then covered the beast as Satan incarnate. Yet people just say, yeah, Antichrist, that's the Pope. We know who that is. We got all that down. They don't see that he covered all four stages under one seal. In that Antichrist, because an Antichrist, I'll read it to you if I get down to it. If I don't, I'll give you the page number. That is a spirit. That's not, it was later crowned and made a pope. But it starts off as a spirit. Then look how it would be then. Now, I know what it means of the falling away. See, Paul was saying, unless they come a falling away. All right, they was a falling away. See, the early church, it began to dwindle away. There was a falling away. But go back to your main point of it. The main point is not that they would be just that kind of a falling away, and then it would come back up this way, or three church ages, and restore that. And boy, we'd really be there. The main point that in the last days, they would come a falling away. All right, then you would have to have, if you're going to fall from the truth, you would have to have the truth. You can't fall out of a tree if you ain't up in it. Is that true? I'm going to fall out of this tree. Well, I ain't up in a tree. You've got to have the truth. Then you can fall away from the truth. So Paul was saying, I know all about this falling away down through the ages, but there's going to be a main time come that when the Word is fully restored to the church. She might not understand it, but she's got it in books and tapes and things that she can read and listen to. then at that time.
So that I showed you, now you check it and see whether I'm right or not. The anointed one's the end time is your main point of iniquity, because there stands the person anointed with the Holy Spirit to do the things that he does a lot of times, but yet the devil is in his soul. He is a product of iniquity. Brother Branham, I read it to you there where he said, they know better. He said, they sit right under this word, said they get these tapes, said they know better. Where, as I said last week, where is the people now that used to sit there and you'd hear Brother Branham say something, boy, he'd come down through there on something, and he'd be teaching some real true something, say, about the soul. We'll use that as an example. Boy, he'd be bringing it down. You'll hear him in the background. You can recognize their voices and tell who it is, Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so. Amen. Boy, it just be where they at today. What do we find that Antichrist does? Sure, while he's in here among us, sitting here, while he was with Brother Branham, when they was there, those people, while they was there, when that anointing would fall, they can shout just like anybody else. They can enjoy the presence of the Lord, but let them go outside and stay away a little while. First thing you know, the little thing starts talking from the inside of them. That's knowing better, but they do it anyway. Product of iniquity. Church, I don't believe nothing more than what I'm fixing to say to be the truth. There could never be a real true man of sin in the tribulation to sit in the temple of God showing himself to be as God unless it's going to come from the people of this message. Now that's what I believe about it. You can believe what you want to. That's up to you. But I believe the people of this message will help produce. I don't mean they'll help produce old Pope Paul VI over yonder. You didn't even get what I said. That's all the same spirit. That has nothing to do with who he is. It's the people of this message. Because they've got to have the truth to fall away from it. The Baptists don't have the truth. They've heard it and fell away. That's the stage of it. The Methodists heard it and fell away. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, they heard it and fell away. But the people of the message have walked in it and then fell away. They're the ones that's making a stage then that Satan can walk right out there and become in control. Got to be. It's the highest form. All right, then you think about it. We don't want to cover just that. Oh, the Pope, that's the false prophet. Well, we know who he is. He's the Antichrist. Brother Branham says that white horse, covered it on page 160 and 163 of the seal book, that white horse is a righteous church. Now you ought to be able to see your anointed once the end time real clear there. That white horse, now, not the rider. The rider is Satan. But that white horse is a righteous church. It's a church that, as far as the things of life, it's a pure, holy-looking church. John looked at it. He admired it. He was, in other words, spellbound when he saw it. That horse being that away and that rider on his back was so deceiving, it deceived every person that's ever been in the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, then that's the one we're talking about. Then we can see that it's not just to look at iniquity in others, but to look at iniquity in ourselves. See, if we don't get nothing else out of it, I hope we can see that much of it. But not to look for iniquity in the Pope and try to find the mystery of iniquity. Boy, we found that. That's the Pope. We know who he is. Now, it's the mystery of iniquity is that you and I were born in iniquity. We were shapen, as the Scripture would say, in iniquity
and in sin did my mother conceive me, then that makes us a product of iniquity, and we've got to know how to destroy that, because that is what has always kept us in this world. You'll never get out of this world until we find out how to do away with iniquity. You say, well, boy, bless God, I know how to do away with it. I'll just go to God with it. Well, just go on. You ain't even understanding what I'm talking about. Just go on to God with it. You think Peter and Paul and them didn't know how to go to God? That'll stop that, Orton. You think they didn't know how to go to God with it? There's only one thing that's going to do it, and you'll find out. It's going to take the Word. I'll give you an example of it. Do you think anybody down through the ages knowed how to get rid of their marriage and divorce problems? And that's connected to the flesh, ain't it? There's not a denomination on the sun that knows how to get rid of marriage and divorce problems. Not a one. I don't care who it is or who you'd call. They don't know how to get rid of it. A Catholic takes, sprinkle a little salt on you, turn you around backwards, and send you out. The Pentecostals turn around and say, well, like my uncle was, he was a Pentecostal. He divorced his wife and married another. Went down, told him he was called to preach. And I guess the General Assembly or somebody sent him word he couldn't preach till he got his marriage and divorce straightened up. And they sent him word how. He divorced his second wife and went and married his first wife back, and they let him preach. Now, did that straighten up anything? I just as soon been the Catholic, it sprinkled the salt on me, turned around and told me to go backwards out the door or something. I just as soon been that. See, they didn't understand now. Nobody knows how to get rid of it. And see, that's keeping us in this world. We're going to know how to get rid of iniquity. Watch it. Watch it in what we're covering this morning, then you can see how to get rid of it in us. But what we're covering is we're trying to get down to a place to see who the man of sin is that sits in the temple of God showing himself to be as God. Now watch it tied to that person. As I said, Jesus, God in human flesh, had 12 people. And one of them was the devil following him. And here is a person that we're talking about in the end time, the beast, that will deceive 4 billion people into believing what he said. Well, then it's not going to be just looking at a man, and ours a temple, and here he is over here, and all at once he goes walking into a temple, and the whole world says, look at there, the man of sin is sitting in the temple of God. What foreruns that? Because, church, we don't go that far, or we are in the tribulation and have done missed the rapture. The church leaves before then. If we see the man of sin sitting there like that, we are in the tribulation and we've done missed it. So what foreruns that then? Can you see that all of that 4 million people that we're talking about, every one of them has Satan sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God? Where is the temple of God supposed to be? God said, I don't want all these buildings and things you've built for me. Study your Bible a little. He didn't want those buildings. He always wanted to dwell in man. That's the temple. The Bible says we are the temple of God. All right, then you look at that 4 billion people we're talking about. Every one of them's little temples representing that fellow that will finally enter that temple over there. Satan is in their soul, controlling them, sitting where God is supposed to sit. Man was made to house God in his soul. That was what he was made for. When you're born again, God comes in there and lives. He's sitting in the temple that he always wanted to sit in. When they made one in the Old Testament, he come down and said, that's all right, I'll dwell here for a while. But he was never happy there. He wanted to be in the heart of man. That's why he wants you to be born again. But see, then that man of sin sitting in the temple of God covers a whole lot more than just to say,
Well, one of these days, the television screens will be showing it, and you're the Pope will be standing over in the Mosque of Omar, and he'll go walking across right into the temple. Well, my Lord, when they dedicated the temple over there the other day, they had the highest ranking, or here a while back, they had the highest ranking Catholic woman there was, and sent her over there for the dedication. I mean, we look at things so narrowly until we miss the point. Satan this day, how do you think he'd ever come to a place over there that he could sit in the temple of God showing himself to be as God? He would have to have something here to forerun that time and hour. He'd have to have something leading up to that. Then you and I better look at that part of it, then. Because we don't want to care where who the Pope. In other words, it wouldn't have 2 cents if I could figure out that this Pope was going to die and the next one would be called Pope John Henry III, and I'd know he was going to be Satan incarnate. Would that help one thing about the rapture for me? No, but if I can watch and see him through by the eye of faith, by what the prophet has taught us of the things that the Antichrist will do, and how he becomes incarnate finally in a beast. And then I can look over there and see that Jew and see something happen to that Jew. Then I can see the mystery of redemption that comes back here, that I'm standing here a long time before that ever happens. And I can know then what's done. So let's just see if we can go that way just for a little bit. We saw that the Antichrist was a spirit working under the disguisement of a church, a white righteous church. Then we know the church under the anointing of the Antichrist spirit in the early days, they brought forth a false prophet to their doctrine. You know the way I said that? I said the Antichrist spirit, the anointing of that Antichrist spirit. In the early days of the church, brought forth a doctrine. That man didn't walk out there and say, look at me, y'all believe me. Reverend Moon didn't start out, I'm just using that name, saying, look at me, I'm God. I can name a lot of other names if you'd like, the people that we know personally. They didn't start out just saying, everybody come and follow me. No, the people had a spirit on them that wanted that kind of a head. They wanted something, just as the children of Israel said, we want a king to rule over us. They'd tie every scripture in the Bible. No wonder Brother Brown said you could preach hours on a thought like that, because you take that thought and run it through the scriptures then. They wanted a king to rule over. They wanted something they could see. Here's these people saying, well now, we want a bishop, and then we want a this, and we want a that. We want somebody to tell us what to do. The first thing you know, they just alleviated a pope up there and set him in that place, and he become the man that put forth what they believe. Now, if there's any Catholic here, I don't have anything against the Catholic or the Pope. If the Pope could hear a real, true message by the Holy Ghost, he might get born again. I have nothing against nobody. I'm just talking about what the Bible tells you about it. And it calls it a false prophet and all like that. See, the Pope is not a Pope like we call him. The Bible calls him a false prophet because that's what he is. He just puts forth what the people believes in their own self. And he just come out in the front and was crowned in the second work of the Antichrist as a crowned false prophet to an Antichrist system. Alright? Then, we know that in the early days, that church, that false vine, wanted this to be this way. And they begin to long for it and pray for it. And God said he sent a strong delusion. He didn't make them do it. They wanted it.
and he sent them a strong delusion, I read it to you there, that they would believe a lie. Brother Branham said that's the lie, the same lie that he told Eve. And how did we cover that same lie last week that he told Eve is right here in 1982, the same lie. Brother Branham said that's the lie. He said, I looked it up. He said, that's the same lie he told Eve. All of these 6,000 years has been trying to get that same lie back again here. That same lie that he told there to Eve hasn't been here in its fullness in manifestation until the people of this message came along. The same lie. What did he tell Eve? You shall not surely die. What's the same lie that's being told now around the world by the people of this message? You believe Brother Branham was a prophet? You believe that he brought the word for the hour? You believe the message of the hour? Then you shall not surely die. You're going into rapture, because all that loved him and that he ever loved is going to go to heaven one day. That's the same identical lie that Eve was told. Not one word off of it. It's always been down through there. It's been off a little bit. Organizations and things just, you know, spring it off. But the same lie. Watch it go into higher stages. You'll know in that day, he told Eve, he said, that God knows the day you eat thereof that you'll become wise. You'll know good and evil. You'll know as God. In other words, become like God and know like him. The people of this message now, after the word began to be preached back under a good many years ago about how the bride had to become the fullness of the Godhead, you hear that now out, everybody. Boy, look at the church. She's becoming the fullness of the Godhead bodily. She's known as God. Why, it don't hurt to take a little drink. Now, ain't there a lot of people in what's called the message? Done started drinking? You think that ain't the same identical lie? Why, it don't hurt to do a little of this, a little of that. The same identical lie standing here in our day, right to the letter. But now listen, we don't see this. We don't see Satan in the tribulation. We don't see the beast incarnate. All the church sees is the Antichrist part of it, and the false prophet side. If we see the beast, then we're already in the tribulation, and we've missed it. But we see the Antichrist, we see the false prophet, we see the person. Now watch. We see the person that is revealed under the first seal. See, we don't see the Satan incarnate over there. I've never seen the Pope and shook his hand. I've never been in his presence. I've seen him on TV and pictures of him or something. But I've never seen him. I don't guess I've even seen him on TV. I've seen his pictures. But we see the person. So you remember how when we was preaching on the seal the first time that we covered, here was the person, here was the Lamb standing here with the book in his hand, one person of God's all there ever was. And then here goes the Antichrist riding off, he said, because it's another person going that way. So you know it's the Antichrist. We see the person in the spirit of the Antichrist that worked in me and you. Even in our soul until the day we were born again. Now that's how close it is. The Antichrist word, the iniquity coming down. We see the person. We see him become a pope, which is a final authority over a group of people. Because pope means vicar, one who stands in. He's in our stead. In other words, he's God in our stead. For our benefit, he's God in human flesh. Vicar, one who stands in. He's in the place of God. What about the people of this message? Now, to show you that it'll come out from here, the worst part of it, have you ever seen such a popish bunch of people? Do you believe our message? No. Well, sorry. You're out. You can't get no more popish than that. The Pope wouldn't say that. He wouldn't desire safety to you that you believe what I teach as a Catholic. You'd say, no, I don't believe. He'd say, well, I'm sorry, you're out. He don't teach that. He teaches love everybody. Let's get them all together and love one another. And he just loves them right into the tribulation. That's where they wind up. But see, it's, we get the revelation now. We don't see the Antichrist over there as he becomes the beast. We see the revelation of the person as this Antichrist spirit, false prophet, which would be a pope, the beast, and then seeing that beast finally come to the place that it's Satan incarnate. If you want to read it, it's on the second seal. I just picked these to show you. He ties all of it together. Page 202 through 204 of the seal book. Just read that and you get home and you'll see how it come down from one stage to another one, how it was crowned and just kept coming down to the to where that it'll finally wind up in the tribulation to be that. He said he's called something else later. You remember he's using the scripture how that when Jesus coming on that white horse that he has a name written, which is the word of God. And he said, now Satan over here, he said he don't have no name, but said he receives a name. He's called something later. He don't have no name now, Santa Christ. But later he's called the beast. All right, we see him as he comes down to the place. Daniel covered him as he came down. And Brother Branham used it on the first seal, covering from 162 through 171. Just read those. How that he comes in by flattery. You remember Daniel said that this one, the last one was standing in this state, he would come in by flattery. Flattery is when you butter somebody up. You don't beat them over the head and say, you don't believe my message, you're out. You butter them up. You get everybody. Till it finally comes that craft will prosper. And that, now, that will be after the rapture of the church that he starts building her back up. We see it going down now in the economy, just slowly going lower and lower. Brother Branham said on those pages, if you read it, he said, we don't see that covenant made. See, he comes in then by flattery and takes the whole world. Brother Brown says, well, we're looking for a Superman, and said, they'll see him. See, this man will take over and craft will begin. In other words, jobs will be plentiful. People will be just laid off down, down, down like that until it just bottoms out, and then something has to take over. And then they'll start flourishing the whirlwind, and there'll be jobs everywhere. You think a man right now, if I went to my brothers and sisters and told them about what the system of the churches were and all how it works through the government and all the government control, why they, you know why they get mad at it? They'd say, Samuel, our mother draws money from the government. They're taking good care of her, and if they didn't, we would have to feed her. Well, my Lord, they get more tax out of me than my mama draws. I'd be glad to feed her if they just let me keep my taxes. But see, that's the deception. They don't see that. But yet they'd beat you over the head and get mad. Why, Mom and Daddy, why, we'd have to, look, we'd have to feed them. But yet it just gets everything under their control. Social Security in bad shape. So they vote to, you know, they bring it up. How many little rider bills are slid onto the side of that Social Security that you know they're going to pass the Social Security Act? And when a rider is slid into a bill, it automatically becomes law. When the bill is signed to the Social Security, that everybody in the world would get mad if they didn't sign it, and there ain't no legislator going to go against that. He'll sign anything into law. And when he signs that into law, he's automatically signing your death certificate. Now, that's how easy the government works, ain't it? He's doing that now. That's pretty good flattery, ain't it? But what about a day when he just takes over and runs the whole thing with his flattery? And the whole world falls at his feet. Except that little Jew, that little 144,000. But now listen, the seal reveals then that what we're seeing and what we've tried to say for a long time to be true, that the real meaning of your first seal in the extent of what literally happens under the seal, now, the time elements, the things that transpire, will be in the tribulation. Now you go back and read 130 and 131, and you read what Brother Branham, the definitions he gave. Only he who letteth will let. God. What's your he's? Until he, the church, Christ, the bride, be taken out of the way, then the man of sin will be revealed. Will sit in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, after the church is ungone. That's the mystery of it, that it's coming down to that. And it can't get out of here and leave. Then it goes to them.
Someone said, when this seal is broken,
when the time element-wise is revealed under that seal, we'll be in the tribulation. Now you can go back and see why the Daniel 70 weeks is so important. And that's what the prophet went to on the first seal. I used to wonder, well, why in the world did he spend so much time on the first seal? If it was just to us and we're just to see an Antichrist, why did he spend more time talking about the Jews, the tribulation, the 3.5 years ministry? Why did he spend so much time talking about that to the Jews when I thought we were supposed to be the only ones seeing him? Come find out this whole Bible was written to the Jews. This is a Jewish Bible. That's why it's written that way. You and I just get the love letter that's inserted. Because we're the bride. We are the spiritual Israel. We are the ones that see this before it ever happens. What about a view like that? You think these people can show you views and these television things of the next week's series? Man, you're talking about something. We see all of this before it ever comes to pass. That God thinks that much of us. He said to Abraham, he said, can I withhold anything from thee? But just think about it. Daniel covered how he would come in and take over. And we see then the seal that we would totally miss. Now watch what the prophet said. He said, you'll miss the seals unless you get the Daniel 70 weeks. Now you see then what we would miss. What if we didn't know that about the Daniel 70 weeks, the 3.5 years of tribulation, and Armageddon and all the things that was to happen there? Then when you come to the seal book, and here he goes and he lets in and he preaches down to there, and then all of course he leaves us and just goes on to the Jews. We totally miss it. He said, you'll miss these things. But now think about it now as we close it out. What's the one of the things on page 62, 63, and 64 of Daniel 70 weeks? Watch how it's covered. It shows the iniquity to Israel. There will be, what does it call it? Reconciliation for iniquity. Now Brother Brown said, what was their iniquity? He said, they knew better to do it. They gave the definition, but said they done it here. He said, it's when they said, let his blood be on us back there, and rejected him as the Messiah, and things like that. Maybe not those words in that page, but it's where they rejected the Messiah when they knew that there stood somebody, that even their highest ranking officials, like Nicodemus and them, men like that, and Gamaliel and all kind of the high priests would have to stand there and say, we know that you're a man sent from God because God cannot do these. Now, no man can do these things unless God be with him. And they knew there stood Jesus Christ living that to the letter. But yet, they believed the lie. And they went into iniquity. Rejected their Messiah. One day it will be reconciliation or their iniquity. And you know where that'll be at? In the tribulation after the church is gone. So your seal goes over there. And listen, your seal, first seal, goes over there and comes to an end. When Satan has went from Antichrist, false prophet, beast, and then Satan incarnate in the beast, that reveals the end of the Antichrist. But in doing that, that is only a type, if you read one of those pages I gave you, only a type, and that's the word Brother Branham used, of what the church comes through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and incarnate God. So then you can see that under the first seal, it reveals the ending of the Antichrist as he ends in the incarnate beast. An incarnate in a man. Walks into the temple showing himself to be as God. But listen, to those Jews, they come through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then one day, they see God incarnate. Not in a corporal body, that doesn't come until the millennium. But they see him so great through two witnesses. And he becomes so incarnate in them that the prophet said he leaves the marriage supper, slips back down to reveal himself. And when they see him, listen, when they see him, that is proof. Already gone. When they see him incarnate, that proves that their iniquity is gone. Their iniquity went with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just as our iniquity went with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when we see him, it's proof that our iniquity is gone. And we see him here before we leave. Tell us, would you come? See, then iniquity covers to the end. It started in just a little thing of the mystery of iniquity. Came all the way through the Antichrist system. All the way through the Pope, the beast, Satan incarnate, and ends in the final stage of iniquity. We saw it in us as it was sin visited down from one to the other. And what's the most, watch iniquity be right now, knowing to do good and won't do it. Watch it be right when you say it's a hideous sin. What's the most hideous sin you could think of? Brother Branham preached a message one time called "The Meanest Man I Know." And he talked about drunkards, prostitutes, and he said, "The meanest man I know is a person that would see Jesus Christ and need him as their Savior and refuse to be saved." That's the meanest man I know. The mystery of iniquity finally ends with Satan incarnate in a beast. Our iniquity is what's bound us here. But when we can see God right, it'll be calm. But the worst hideous sin could be today, church, is for me and you to see the Word and fail to walk in. It then becomes a hideous sin. It becomes lawlessness. No control. You've done grieved away to the place. We talk about a conscience. Go back and study what I said last week about it. When man entered that state of a fallen state, he became into a state of consciousness. That would be what would keep me and you from doing wrong if we just followed it. Would be our conscience. If I'd have followed mine when I was a child, I told you, I wouldn't have done the things I'd done if I'd have just followed my conscience. But yet I seared that and went and done the wrong. Don't sear away your conscience today now. Some of you are being told you need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to straighten up your life. You need to quit the things you're doing. Don't sear it. Because next time it will come to you that way. Don't sear it. Just say, Father, forgive me. That's all it takes. Let's stand together. Father, we believe your word will not return unto thee void. We believe, Lord, in this little thought that people can see, that you want to live among your people in fellowship with each one of us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the words would sink deep into our hearts. And Father, as the psalmist David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear me. Cleanse our hearts. Make them pure before thee. Let all of our thoughts be centered upon you. Let it be you that would guide us. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing just as I am. If anyone has a need, because there ain't nothing we can do about it. We can't save ourselves. We can't do nothing. We can just come to God. It'd be just as I am. Number 220 in the red book. It's just as I am. And I ain't got a plea in the world. But I plead the blood. That's one thing I do. I plead the blood. I don't have anything that I can do. I can't save myself. But I can yield to God and he'll save me. I can't change the iniquity. I can't do anything about the way I was born. Man the other day was just lorating his stepfather to all get out. He was just throwing off on him in every way it could be thought. And I thought, what I'd give to see my daddy. I was 5 when he died. I don't remember nothing about him. I'm like Brother Branham. I don't know. They claim he quit drinking and everything before he died. About 2 years that he was in bed, something close to that, with strokes and things. But if I had $50 million, I'd give every dime of it for my daddy to sit and listen one time to a gospel preach. Know that he's saved. I'd give the world to get there. But would you do that? Are you willing to give up the world to have Christ? Just be willing to say, Lord, I want you as my Savior, whatever it takes, that you take care of me. All right, just think of yourself now as we sing this song, just as I am. And then you come to the Lord, he'll take care of it. Just as I am without one, but that thy blood.
just sometimes sit down with your Bible. Just start looking up a few things about iniquity. Look how those writers desired God to cleanse them of their iniquities. I know this applies to the new birth, but what's the highest form of the application of the Scripture? The Bible said there'll come a time that your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That hour is here. We're here at the end. When I was born again, God can't remember my sins or my iniquities anymore. He sees me through the blood. Here is my voice as I plead for mercy. One writer used it. He said, "Mercy and truth shall cleanse me from my iniquity." There is hope. There's hope in the Word of God that you and I can be changed, that we can be cleansed. That writer caught something. He said, "Mercy and truth shall cleanse me from my iniquity." Does anyone else have a need? Just ask the Lord. We as Christians ought to ask Him, "Lord, have I done anything that would need to be cleansed? Mercy and truth will cleanse it. Do I have anything in my life that I need to get rid of? Mercy and truth will cleanse it. God's mercy with His truth will cleanse it." Anyone have a need of salvation and say, "I don't want to be that you're talking about"? Because listen, church, unless you are born again, unless you are a Christian, you are totally a product of iniquity. Your soul is doomed for a devil's hell. And if time would last and you'd live long enough, you would be in that tribulation. But don't sear that conscience that would talk to you and be like that girl was that Brother Branham called her out or something, and she run out and said, "I wouldn't have nothing like that." He saw her sometime later after then, and she was all made up walking on the streets there. She said, "Brother Branham said, since that day that you said that to me and I turned and run away, that I could see my mother's soul fry in hell and never even bat an eye." She had seared herself away. The Bible says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." So if He's striving with you, then thank God for that. But then move. As we pray with these, you just continue to sing on. Brothers, come, let's pray with our sisters. Our sister needs that for herself. She's also standing today asking us to pray for her father. He's had an operation, bleeding on his eye, and now he's facing another one, maybe. So as she stands here believing that she'll go and find her daddy all right, Scripture says, if you commit any sin, done anything wrong, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you commit any sin, that'll be taken care of. So we just take that and turn it right around to your dad. You're asking for yourself. You believe for yourself. You believe the Lord will take care of anything, take care of what you need to talk to. And you go believe in your dad. It'll be all right. It don't matter if the doctor says we've got to operate or whatever he says. Don't even let that, when they tell you. We all got some little feelings, you know, that come when somebody says that, "Oh, this is faith." I doubt that. Just believe me. Father, we lay our hands upon our sister, believing, Lord, that you'll take care of her needs that she has with herself.
We know that, Lord, you hear us because your word says we believe we have our petitions in the end. Now we ask for our sister to be good, and we ask for her father that this, Lord, would be taken care of by your stripes. He's already without replacement under operation. We believe your word. May he, Lord, and all of us together doubt our doubts of anything safe with them. Anyone else? Our sister wants a closer walk. I know we all want that. The Lord, more revelation of His Word, but she has a physical need in her body. You know, age doesn't have anything to do with it. There was a man named Dow one time, you remember, that I believe he was about 90 years of age. And he just knew it was over with. Brother Branham come to him there in the hospital and told him, he said, I'll shake your hand again upon the street one day. He said, you'll sit and meet. Him over 90 years of age. And the Lord came down and healed that man. See, age has nothing to do with it. Just believe the word. That's what let's pray for our sister. Father, we believe that by your stripes our sister sees this need that she has in her body. Let it be according to thy word unto her that she is already healed. May she not have in her thoughts and minds to look for signs of her healing, but to just walk on and believe and to see it made manifest in her life, that she won't be hurt no more. We ask for, Lord, an uplifting in her life. She's asked for that, and all of us together ask for our own safety, that we want a closer walk with you, Lord. More revelation of your word and understanding. Guide it in Jesus' name. Anyone else? My brother's got some trouble with his heart. Let's just pray with him. I believe the Lord will give a new heart to you.
Amen.
One time there, Brother Brown told about a little child that had a blood problem. He said God gave it a whole new total blood system. I didn't ask him to change mine, but he changed my whole blood type. If he can do that, if he can make a heart, brother, he can use it. Father, Lord, we lay our hands upon our brother and believe that by your stripes our brother is healed. The word has been spoken. He believes it in his heart. Now let his heart, Lord, just be made totally new. Whatever it would take, that's none of our business. But by your stripes, he's already healed. We believe it. Accept it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else? Remember the services tonight. Brother Whitney, the Lord willing, be preaching for us. Tried to get him to preach this morning, but he was a little tired and all, hunting yesterday. Said if I'd preach this morning, then maybe he'd preach tonight. So just pray one for another, and remember, announce to the ministers' meeting. Will be the third Saturday down in Atlanta, and if there's any, there might have to be a change unless it conflicts with some, because there was a couple of brothers said they got Piedmont deer hunting land that weekend, so I don't know, they might be calling around, ask everybody if they wanted to change it, but the way it was announced was the third Saturday, and if anybody objects to it being changed, it'll be on the third Saturday, because that was, everybody was there, agreed to the third Saturday, so just remember that. Any other announcements? If not, just remember to pray for Brother Whitby this afternoon, pray for the services tonight, pray one for another. Brother Smars, would you dismiss us? You're dismissed. We appreciate our sister coming and being with us, Brother Smart. Take the name of the Lord.